One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Today on The Grape Talks, Demons in Society, a conversation with James Anito. Is the demonic world taking a stronger hold on society? Are so many of the horrid acts that we see in society ultimately driven by demonic forces? Today we discuss demons in society, where they've been, where they are now, and where they're going. Demonologist James Anito joins us to discuss the world of the demonic on The Grape Talks. James, it just kind of feels like right now the world is in chaos. and as much as I, you know, try to look for the things that are like, okay, well, this is logical, or this was happening here because of this or that, there just seems to be an utter amount of inhuman behavior, for lack of a better term. And I'm noticing it more specifically over one of my other shows, True Crime Today, when we're talking about people doing horrible things to people, especially their children. Is this, I mean, and I, there's a lot of bad parents. There's a lot of bad parenting. There's a lot of bad situations. There's drugs. There's alcohol. There's everything. But I have to wonder, are we seeing more people under the control of something much darker these days at a much larger scale than we have in the past?
Well, Tony, that's a very good question. And I would truly honestly tell you that, you know, I've heard this, through my demonology studies throughout history, of the Lucifer, Satan being involved, some of the most heinous acts in human civilization. And, you know, sometimes it really is the easiest conclusion to jump to, saying that it is something demonic, or it is some insidious or evil or malevolent or malignant a control of some unseen force. But you know, one of the things is, especially right now in this time, we went through a very hectic 2 years. You know, people were kind of secluded. They were in their houses, cabin fever. So there's a lot of psychological things that of course happened in our life, more so recently, that none of us have ever come across. Beside, you know, of course, I'm not saying this in a demeaning way, but the Spanish flu in the early 1900s, and we really haven't had a pandemic like this. And I'm not, you know, a virologist or anything like that, so I'm not going to get into the nitty gritty of that, but but we had a lot hit us as humanity. You know, we've had a lot more school shootings, a lot more things that have affected our judgment and the way we look at things. Could that be necessarily something demonic? Like, well, the show Evil, that's on Paramount Plus, I think now, it was on CBS, mm-hmm. kind of dictates that. And it's a great show. I love the first season more than the second and third season, but I really truly don't know. You know, I've seen cases come to me throughout the, you know, 16 years of doing this, but I still haven't come across a new demonic case in the past couple of years. And I'm a demonologist. This is what I do for my bread and butter. You know, this is what I do. I'm not a ufologist. I'm not just a paranormal investigator. I specialize in demonology. And I'm able to sift through a lot of these cases. And, you know, either it is something like maybe psychokinesis or attention or post-traumatic stress disorder or some other mental illness or personality disorder. But that's what I tend to see more than anything, you know, and it does emulate the paranormal. And I think that eventually certain disorders uncontrolled can lead to paranormal phenomena. And of course, that's more in the parapsychological realm. But it's quite possible, I think, from what I've observed. So, you know, it's really how you tackle it and handle it. You know, I try to, as I said the first time I was on your show, Tony, mm-hmm. is I try to check as many boxes off as I can because, you know, we have to target the human physiology and mental capacity first before we even target anything preternatural. But it would definitely be easy to conclude and say it was Lucifer, Satan, or demonic, but most time it is just the human interaction in society. You know, we started unfortunately seeing our unraveling us as society with more hatred.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not that many of these would ever be looked at deep enough to even identify if there is something darker going on or something demonic going on, because it just goes into the court system and the criminal justice system. I don't know. I just have to wonder, and I don't know, because there just seems to be such a level of darkness that yeah. people are capable of, especially against their children. I don't know if it's just because we're in a much more connected world where we're mm-hmm. going to hear about the horrible crimes in every city and then just the yep. worst float to the top. You know, maybe these have always been going on this horribly. I don't know. I don't know. But it's just scary to see how an individual that otherwise was leading a somewhat fairly normal life, you know, flips and like kills their whole family or goes yeah. and just kills their kids. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's mind blowing to me.
And well, it does make sense. You know, I'm a student of psychology, you know, yeah. I'm going for my degree. So, you know, we tend to forget that a lot of mental or personality disorders mm-hmm. start developing later on in life and yeah. our adulthood. So schizophrenia, bipolar, a lot of these disorders that would emulate something paranormal and maybe mm-hmm. have a manic state or hallucinations or the psychosis or something like that, that develops later on in life. So, you know, maybe they're normal in their childhood and in mm-hmm. their adolescence and their young adulthood, but then they start changing. So it's quite possible, but yeah, no, definitely. I work with, we've been on hiatus because she's busy, but I work with criminologist Laura Brand. Mm-hmm. We had a program called True Evil, and that was what we tackled. You know, we tackled like serial killers that mm-hmm. could maybe be quantified in the aspect that they were influenced by a demonic force. Mm-hmm. Like we talked to Arnie Johnson, who, you know, yeah. was part of the Devil Made Me Do It case in Connecticut, you know, yeah. which was prolific in America because it was the first defense of demonic possession in our judicial system. But we tackled it in that way because she's looking at it in the realm of forensic psychology and criminology. And I'm looking at it in that spectrum. And, you know, I tend to believe after talking to her, it's not like she persuades me, but she gives enough kind of data and kind of evidence that the proof that these people have these kind of disorders. And, you know, like I said, dabbling into my psychology program, I start to see why people can misunderstand these things. Why back in the day of Hippocrates, we you know, thought people were being possessed while he was starting to say, hey, there is a mental capacity to this, is a mental issue. Mm-hmm. So I could see why we have developed and why people that are paranormal investigators that don't have a psychology background or a social science background doesn't realize this. And it's easy to be misinterpreted.
Yeah, I mean, I totally believe and understand the psychological side and the psychology side of it. I guess the number is what is what seems to get, or the volume is what seems to get me. But again, it may just be perception too of what we're getting and how we're, you know, absorbing so much of it. In the Arnie Johnson case, and when you had a chance to talk with him and your partner that you were working with on that, What was her arguments on that specific case?
Well, you know, I'm good friends with Arnie and good friends with the Nesper team, like Tony Spira.
Yeah.
So I got to tread carefully on what my opinions of the case is, you know. But, you know, basically she definitely thought that, like, it was interesting in their defense. But she definitely had situations where she maybe had doubted some of the circumstances. Like, one of the things that is undeniable is there's enough evidence or enough proof through the diocese, local diocese, that David, who was his wife's brother, was actually going through some sort of prolific demonic possession and had actually dealt with stuff, gone through some exorcisms, and then also was being seen by a psychiatrist and other medical staff. So there was enough evidence to lead towards that this person was necessarily at this age being demonically possessed. Mm-hmm. Now, what the story of the matter is, if nobody's seen The Conjuring 3 or read the book The Devil in Connecticut, is that, you know, Arnie Johnson was there during one of the transient episodes where David went under a fit of rage, and basically Arnie you know, said, leave David alone, come into me, which, you know, in the factual matters of it, will technically could make it occur and for it to happen, because you're challenging something that doesn't like to be challenged. You know, even though we are puny compared to something like a pure spiritual form, and it's what our faith is, what drives us to overcome this, you know still challenging is gonna create some sort of aggression towards what's being hostile towards David. And, you know, supposedly the spirit or the demonic spirit went into Arnie and started affecting him. Mm-hmm. And then he killed his girlfriend's boss and his friend. So, but there's a lot within that story that, you know, people have been in the neutral or been on either side of the fence over that case, because, you know, some people say, why did he miss his wife and stab Bono when she was standing right in front of him? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that unfortunately will always create kind of create a debate with that case. And also on top of it, if, you know, the judicial system must have had enough evidence for that argument not to be used, you know, because at that point in time, you know, the judicial system, well, I think still to this day, I haven't been to court, you know, like at any point in my life, really. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't really know, but I'm pretty sure they still swear on the Bible, still swear on some sort of oath. So, you know, back then, you know, you brought God into the court system. Mm-hmm. And so to have good as an influencer or as an adjudicator, and then not have evil as a possibility is kind of interesting. But, you know, Laura definitely had some opinions, and, you know, I'm not going to speak for her. So, sure. But she definitely was on the fence about it. But she loves Arnie too. We don't think Arnie is capable of murder now, or maybe he was never capable of murder, and that was an influence. I wasn't there back in the 70s, or actually early 80s, I apologize. And I have no clue what he truly went through, because the two of the people that were of course involved in that case, Lorraine and Ed Warren, are now deceased.
Yeah.
And the only person that's really still alive that was part of it is Arnie, and some of the and David, of course, is still alive. His wife is now deceased, Deb. So, you know, there's not many people still alive that were very antiquated with that case. So it's hard, you know. I'm a see it to believe it kind of person. Mm-hmm. So I can hear the story, read the story, hear from that person's perspective, especially the person dealing with it. But, you know, it's still, I wish I was there. And, you know, if there was ever a time machine, if there was a number DeLorean with a flux capacitor, I'd be the first one to take a trip back to the early 80s.
Do you, as a demonologist, get contacted ever about current cases where someone is trying to make the argument that they were possessed when they committed their crimes?
So, nothing heinous in the sense where somebody should go to jail. More so crimes kind of committed to them, like either they were raped or hit. But nobody that I can remember that killed somebody or stole something. Nothing can come to my mind because that would be something very prolific that I would always remember. The only case that I ever have that wasn't demonic, and as a form of a minister, not as a demonologist, there's nothing demonic in sense, was I did a case in Lowell, Massachusetts many, many years ago. I'd say probably 7-8 years ago, if not a little bit more than that, maybe 9. It was the mother contacted this team Eclipse. It was ran by a Buddhist monk. His name was Leo Martin, and they contacted me as just a consultant, just in case, just, you know, for my expertise. And basically what it was a crime was just had been committed that prior week, where the mother's son, who lived next door, was you know, all of a sudden had committed suicide. Of course, there was foul play in the air, because for somebody that hangs themselves, doesn't like exert blood everywhere, and she definitely felt like there was foul play. He was dating somebody that had you know, mob connections in that area. Lowell's not a very good area, and they were known to pay off the police. You know, this is public knowledge, unfortunately. And you know, she felt like it was foul play and that he didn't commit suicide, so they brought us in. She wanted to see if they could, you know, she could talk to her son to try to get information about who or what, why it was done. And you know, I don't think we necessarily found out, but we do believe that he did communicate to us that night, because Leo, who was a Buddhist monk, also had forms of clair abilities, where one of his traits is automatic writing. And you know, of course, there was still blood on the ground when we were there, so we're tiptoeing around blood, it was a very brutal scene. You know, because you know, you don't imagine somebody having that much blood spread out with somebody hanging themselves. So it definitely looked like, you know, there was some sort of, I don't know, I'm not a detective or a police investigator or anything like that, so I'm just going based upon what my knowledge of, like, you're hanging yourself and you know, maybe blood bursting out of your nose, but not to the sense of what I saw. So the matter of where we got to, where we thought we'd talk to the mother's son, is we had asked if you are here, and but Leo was of course, like a transient state at that point, in kind of like a trance. And all of a sudden, he writes like a signature on this piece of paper. And of course, I'm very observant. I looked around. There's no way I seen this man's signature or this man's John Hancock. And, you know, like, it was crazy, because what we did is we asked the mother, "Do you recognize this?" And she pulls out his license that she had in her house, mind you. Her house, and the signature is the same as it is on the license. So I think, you know, one case that I was a part of was the crime was that, and I definitely feel like he did come across in some form or fashion to let us know that he was there. We never found out, and I think alone finding out that he was able to reach out was comforting to her, even though she still did not understand how her son left us.
Sure. You know, since we're kind of on the topic of logistics, for lack of a better term, in some of these darker situations, sometimes criminal situations, sometimes not criminal, just someone has died. And specifically when someone takes their life, obviously you would have to be in a fairly not good place to make that decision. How often, and this is just an opinion-based question, how often do you think it happens where someone is already so down? And obviously dark things get attracted to dark things. And if you're in a dark place, that can be attracted to you. How often do you think an individual is pushed over the edge to actually execute whatever they're going to do by something supernatural that just, it's like an easy shot for them, if you will, because the person's already teed up and ready to go and they just need that extra tipping point.
So I can tell you, in my opinion, I know a lot of people talk about suicide when they're dealing with demonic oppression or possession, but it does happen, but it's minimal. I've never come across it, but throughout my studies and through what my observations have been is that the demonic entity would not want the person to commit suicide, because their whole point of the matter is to oppress this and then take over the person's body, to mock a higher power and say that, you know, I can demoralize their faith and then take over them, kick them out of their body. You know, anybody could commit suicide, you know, off of depression or off anything, you know, lost, you know, we can even have medically induced suicide in certain states. So, but the demonic entity definitely does not necessarily want that. They want the body.
Okay.
But in a sense of like an attachment or a very negative situation, it's quite possible. Like let's say that the spirit, like you're talking about attraction, you know, new thought, laws of attraction, you know, you're negative, you're going to bring negative things. If you're already dealing with depression and you're already doing self-harm and stuff like that, and having suicidal tendencies or suicidal thoughts, there could be chances that certain spirits that have that certain personality that maybe are lost or are negative and want to stay here, if this is some sort of form of purgatory. You know, that's of course a theory, not factual, but it's quite possible that person would, because they're already getting that push. They have that same amount of energy around them. You know, it's how like some people lose somebody and then commit suicide so they can be with them. It's kind of like that same emotion, I would think. You know, as somebody that is a suicide survivor myself, you know, I tried to commit suicide when I was younger. I now realize how stupid it was, but I can also realize why it led me to that point. I'm so glad I'm still here. But as far as, like you said, somebody controlling that maneuver, it's quite possible. But as far as the demonic, it's very rare, like I said, to reiterate, because, you know, they're master manipulators. And I think the only time that a demonic entity would kind of push the envelope of suicide is if that person still had some demons in their closet, you know, something still going on, where they could not relinquish some trauma, and the demonic was fading from them, and it was one last hoorah, you know, it's me or nothing. But you know, the likeliness of that happening, I haven't come across it, and there's very few material written on that. More material have been written about how people are possessed and they get to the later stages of it, and then their body deteriorates and their body gives up, and you know, their body dies because it can no longer sustain life. And that's of course different than suicide.
What, let me ask you a question about that, because that's something it's an interesting thought. When someone has been possessed, what kind of trauma does it do to the human body once they're out of it? Is the body in just as good of shape as it was before? Or, you know, is it kind of like, you know, like a vehicle or something? It's like it went through a rollover, so it's kind of, you know, it's there, but it's, you know, does possession ever do, you know, irreparable harm, you know, to, you know, the inside or anything like that?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I would definitely say there is physiological difference. You know, maybe disorder, mental disorders will start to come forth. You know, every time that I deal with the case, regardless if it's, you know, as simple as a normal haunting or something sinister and evil as a demonic case, I always, especially if there has been any notice of some sort of post-traumatic stress disorder or stress anxiety or panic attacks that have developed, I usually have them or, you know, of course, can't have them, but I kind of reference that they should see a psychiatrist or psychologist or a therapist, so they can have some sort of therapy and some way of speaking upon the traumas they've faced. But yeah, you're right with a car or some sort of even stress. Can lead towards your body having cancer, you know, can mm-hmm. activate the cells in your body to start developing cancer. So with possession, there's stages to a demonic haunting, like we talked about last time, you know, infestation, oppression, and possession. And possession's broken into two routes. There is transient possession, which I had talked about earlier, where the demonic comes and goes based upon the battle of the free will of that individual, you know, their consciousness against the demonic's consciousness, you know, their faith battles the sinister force, and you know, the spirit comes back and forth depending on a lower or high points. You know, the person comes back at high points because they're able to use their free will to battle back, while their low point is the demonic comes back because that person has been demoralized once again. They're not good enough. They give in. But one thing that happens, and this is very rare, I have never come across it, thankfully, is, you know, perfect or full or true possession, where the person at that point is fully kicked out. Their consciousness is fully kicked out. The person's a vegetable. The only thing that lingers within that person's body is the demonic's consciousness. Mm-hmm. And what tends to happen with that is, I'd like to say, reference stress again, you know, stress is a negative emotion. And when we have this negativity within us, our body will start to deteriorate. You know, our body will start to have cancer. It will start to deteriorate where we're not able to consume food or water anymore, because, you know, at that point, we've kind of lost the 18 senses. You know, I know people think 5, but there's 18, but we start to lose those senses. Our body does, because our consciousness is kicked out. So the body will eventually, I don't know how long it'll take, could be months, could be years, but it eventually will wither away. As far as if somebody's dealing with transient possession and they have that battle, just think of like a battle of attrition, you know, any war. You know, if you go overseas to war, you know, we might be doing that again soon, unfortunately. But, you know, you come back shell-shocked. You come back seeing these bloody moments, the people dying. And that's what happens to people when they're going through this, because it's, even though they don't remember most of the times that the demonic entity has them control under control, what they do remember are the moments that they doubt themselves and beat themselves up and start turning on their friends and family, start getting involved in drugs and alcohol, things maybe they've never done before. And that's what starts withering at them away as well, you know, getting involved in things that they're not used to. And the body definitely will wither. You know, a perfect case to talk about. And some say it was kind of malpractice, but a movie was made on it called An Exorcism of Emily Rose. And the real case is Annalise McKell, which was in Germany and was actually the first case brought to the judicial system in the world in Germany, because, you know, the parents and the priest were brought to court for malpractice because, you know, Annalise McKell died of malnutrition. She was not at any point able to take in water or food during the point of her exorcisms. And eventually she her body withered away. And I know there's a bunch of videos and pictures and sounds. A lot of it's malarkey, unfortunately, but there are some factual photos out there that you can see from how she was before all this transpired to towards the end or later of her life, and you can see how much she withered. It's sickening what the demonic can do to us. And I do definitely think the demonic was involved in that case, even though it was brought to the judicial system. It's a privy sign of the body rebuking, you know. I think that it was a case of full possession, to be honest with you. And I know other people in my field have that same opinion. And then, of course, other people will be against that opinion. But, you know, that's a perfect example right there for me.
Sure, sure. Have you heard of a case ever where the body was so taken over and all that was left was just the consciousness of the demon? And then once the demon left that individual, is that body dead at that point, or did they come back when it's that far, far gone?
So I have never seen it, but if for sure, if the consciousness has been kicked out when it comes to full possession, and if the demonic does leave, the body will just be like a vegetable. So like, just imagine like if we're in a coma, mm-hmm. And we're in the hospital on a feeding tube, it'd be kind of in that sense, but the consciousness will no longer be there. It's already been too far, too gone for your body to be regained.
So what's happened with that person and their soul then, if they're still alive, essentially being a vegetable, but they're not dead, and then they had this horrible situation with possession?
Well, yeah, definitely. So that's the grand scheme of the paranormal. I think once the consciousness is kicked out, it's in the same reality of when our body dies and what we call spirits, or of course, the replay of certain environments, which we call ghosts. Mm-hmm. So I think that when our consciousness gets kicked out, and at that point, I think that, you know, we would either go to wherever we go, mm-hmm. when we die, to be honest with you. So if that's heaven, hell, or some other unnamed thing that we do not know, or a good place that some people call it, you know, I think that body, that person that used to inhabit that body, now their soul or their consciousness, because I think consciousness, a lot of people think, you know, cognitively as part of our brain, but our consciousness has really still never been figured out of how it manifests. A lot of people say it's external of the body. So, you know, I think that in that sense, that of course, that once again, that consciousness or soul wouldn't leave. Or in the case, I like to reference The Lonely Bones, where, you know, of course, Mark Wahlberg plays the father and the girl gets killed by a murderer or serial killer, mm-hmm. and she's lost and she tries to communicate to Mark Wahlberg. So maybe the soul becomes lost and it wanders in sorrow, you know. And it sounds melodramatic, but you know, a lot of this is theory. You know, I don't actually know, sure, where the consciousness or soul goes. Mm-hmm. I think that's the big know of the paranormal. And if we figure that out, it wouldn't be the paranormal anymore. It'd be normal.
Exactly. That's going to wrap up the first part of our conversation. In part two, what happened in a case that James was involved in that an exorcist was also called into turned out to be fraudulent? How did a woman make it appear as though she was experiencing true physical possession? And how difficult is it to call out a true demonic case? Those stories and more in part two of our conversation. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Whoa. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to K12.com/podcast to enroll today.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today. You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.